Great. Bore da. Good morning. Thank you so much, James, and the worship team for leading us into worship. It's so great to gather as God's people, isn't it? And give God the praise that is owing his name. So thank you so much for leading us with that this morning, James. So my name is Di. And for those of you who were there last night, thank you for coming. You're my new best friends. For those who didn't, I'm not talking to you. And I'm joking. But it's great to be here with you this morning. And it was such a privilege to be with you last night as well. And a bit about myself. I'm 32 years old. I'm from Armanford originally. And now I'm living in Pontypridd, the great land of Tom Jones. But don't worry, that's not unusual. I know. It gets better. Now you sort of know the plane of my sense of humour, where we're going this morning. But I'm 32 and I work for the Bible Society. It's a great privilege to work for them as their heart is engaging people with the living word of God, and really believe that this book changes lives. That's why we're involved in translation work, in distribution, in printing. But also, we want to try and encourage people who have perhaps got this book on the bookshelf that they haven't opened up, that perhaps needs dusting off. And my heart is very much to encourage people to open this book back up for themselves as well. And we've got some great resources out for Christmas time. I've actually written a poem called The Well Good News of Christmas, which is for children and for families, which looks at the real meaning of Christmas. And so I'd really encourage you to check out the Bible Society website with all that information. But this morning, I wanted to look at the issue, does God care? Now, I could say yes and just sit back down, but I'm hoping you want me to expound a bit on that this morning, because we all know that God cares, or hopefully we all know that God cares, but do we really know what that means? Do we really know it in here, not just up here, not just head knowledge? Do we really know that God cares for us individually, specifically? And I really think that when we come to know about who God is, I think judging his character, it all depends on how we view him as a God. How do we view God? Because I really believe it has massive implications on how we live out our faith journey with God. And so maybe this morning you've come to church and you see God as the God we find in Genesis 1. This big, expansive, massive, glorious, divine God. Maybe you look back to the creation account and you see this incredible God, enormous, vast, great, divine, and any other incredible adjective you can think of. He was there at the beginning. He was the ultimate creative creator. He made something out of nothing. Maker of mountains, creator of the cosmos, sustainer of solar systems. He's the universal molder, all life's secrets holder, and every star, moon, and planet owner. Gassy or rock in every solar system, and every solar system in every galaxy. If he wanted to, he could have made universe with a plural. He's big, bigger than big, before time, after time, during time, all at the same time. And when we think of this God in Genesis 1 who created the universe, and we look up and see the stars in the sky, maybe we're a bit like that psalmist in Psalm 8 who looks up and says, "When I consider all that your hands have made, wow. Wow." And you know, on that, when we look up, actually, I recently found out this stat. There's 100 billion stars in each 100 billion galaxies. That's just a picture. That's a glimpse of how big our God is. And so when we come and consider what his hands has made, maybe we're like the psalmist in Psalm 8. Maybe we just look up at the stars and we just say, wow. Just so you know, 100 billion stars in 100 billion galaxies is 10 with 21 zeros after it. That's a lot of zeros. That's a lot of zeros. God is big. God is all powerful. And that's the sense that we get from God when we look at the account of creation, when we look at Genesis 1, and it humbles us and it creates in us a response of worship and adoration to who this God is. And when we consider this God, we come to God with utter reverence. We come to God with this holy, righteous fear, and we say, wow. But here's the thing. What happens if we stop there? What happens if we just stop at the wow? I mean, yes, we come with utter reverence before God. We have this healthy, holy, righteous fear of God. But maybe there's a disconnect. Maybe we're too afraid of coming to God. Maybe God is too big. Maybe we feel too small. Maybe God doesn't really care for us. And so actually, when we look at Psalm 8, the psalmist doesn't stop at considering all that his hands has made. He connects it back to himself. Do you like the dramatic pause there? I'm trying to change the slide. It's really seamless, isn't it? I think there's another slide there, but it doesn't matter. Roll the thing on the side. You don't mean roll it like that, like a bowling ball, do you? No, just this little kind of clickery thing here. No problem. Well, do you know what? That'll do just fine. But the psalmist in Psalm 8 doesn't just consider all these things. He ends it by saying this. I feel like I'm in a pantomime. What's going on? Brilliant. That's it. Okay, great. We're getting there. And so he connects it back to himself. He looks up at all the expanse of what God has made, and he brings it back and says, who is man that you are mindful of him? Who is man that you are mindful of him? Because the psalmist makes the connection that this God who's created the universe actually cares about me. And I think it's so important that we make that same connection. The God who shaped solar systems, the God who made molecular structure, is the same God who is mindful of us, who cares for us. And so we move on from Genesis 1, God, to the God we find in Genesis 2. And Genesis 2 paints a different picture of who God is. It's the same God, but it's a different facet of his character, of his nature. And straight away, we see the intimacy of God. Genesis 2, verse 7 says this, then the Lord formed the man out of dust from the ground. Can you see that? Dust, ground. This all-powerful, all-glorious God of Genesis 1 actually makes man by getting down and dirty in the mud. He doesn't delegate his responsibilities. Not this faraway, distant God. This God of Genesis 1 comes down and makes man out of the dust, out of the ground. And there's this beautiful picture of this God being passionate about intimacy, about relationship. Verse 7 actually says this, that God breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life. It just gives you this totally different picture of God, this closeness of God making man, creating him intimately. Not just that, but we also see that God is a God who is relational, who loves to play. He not only puts the stars in the sky, but after he makes creation, he involves Adam in this creation-making process. He's formed all the animals, all the birds of the air, and he gets Adam in and he says, go on, Have a go. Name them. Whatever comes to mind. And there's this little sort of four-legged animal purring with its tail up. And then it kind of wanders off and goes and has a nap and doesn't care about you for the rest of your life. And you think, right, that's a cat. That's definitely a cat. And then there's this dog. And he's like, this makes sense. And he's naming all these different animals. And maybe if you think about it, I wonder if Adam perhaps needed a bit of steering along the way. I wonder if there's this sort of giant grey creature with tree trunk legs kind of galloping towards him with this massive trunk and these big ears, and he thinks, oh, a ladybird. God goes, no, have another go. Have another. Don't think you got that one right, actually. Maybe elephant. Brilliant. Elephant. I could do a great elephant impression, by the way. I'm just gonna do this for you. Thank you very much. Possibly the first time in Penrath Baptist that's ever happened. But let's move on. But God is playful. God cares. God is intimately about relationship. He's personable. And so if we ask the question, does God care for us? Let's remember, he made us out of the mud. He breathed breath into our nostrils. And we not only think about this question, does God care for us? It's really important that we remember that God made us in his image. So when we consider the fact that this God who created the 100 billion stars and 100 billion galaxies made us in his image, not Mount Everest, not even Snowdon. He made us in his image. And so Preston Sprinkle, this author, tells it like this, that we are the pinnacle of God's creation. That's what he thinks of us. We are the pinnacle of God's creation. Students, that's a good chatter line. If you want to use that, you're welcome to. Hey, you're the pinnacle of God's creation. Come on. Let's do a Bible study. You can use that if you want. That's how I married Kath. That's how that happened. But it's just this incredible picture. And it reminds us of how much God values us. And I think we need to remember that for ourselves. Because our view of who God is shapes how we do relationship with him. And our understanding of if God cares for us is shaped by a picture of God. But it's also shaped by how we see ourselves. So let's remember this morning. Who does God say we are? We are the pinnacle of God's creation. We are even more incredible than the billion galaxies and the billion stars and Mount Everest and even Snowdon. And you know, we go on from Genesis 1 and 2, and actually we get this incredible privilege to see even more the depths and nature of who God is, because Jesus enters into our creation. He enters this earth, God incarnate. And he shares stories of the kingdom of God, of the nature of who God is. And there's these three key stories that I think are so powerful when we consider how he views us. The lost coin. God searches high and low. This picture of this woman searching for this missing penny. Just a single penny. But she turns the whole house over looking for it. And when she finds it, she throws a party. She celebrates. And that's a picture of how God sees us. When he finds us, he celebrates, even if it's just one. Then there's the picture of the lost sheep and this farmer just going off and leaving the 99 and searching high and low, risking everything to find this one sheep. Doesn't logically make any sense. Why would you leave 99 to search for one? But God cares for the one. God passionately pursues the one. God risks everything for the one. And then there's the prodigal son, that picture of the father waiting, eagerly hoping, praying that his son comes back. And when he does, he doesn't just stand there. He actually meets his son. He runs out to meet his son halfway, and he embraces him, and he throws a party, and he kills the fatted calf. Why? Because the son was dead, but now he's alive. He was lost, and now he's found. And so we have the privilege of seeing more of the nature of God unfolded to us through Jesus' incredible storytelling skills. And then John 14:9 says this, "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." So Jesus doesn't just come down to tell a bunch of stories, but actually we get to see who God is by looking at Jesus. Everything that he did paints this picture of who God is. So what do we see when we look at Jesus? What do we see? Does God care? Does he really care about this? And I think one of the key passages for me is one of my favorite passages. It's the shortest verse in the Bible. And it says this. In John 11:35, it says, Jesus wept. Just two words. What could two words possibly mean? How could two words be significant? I really believe these two words really can. Because when Jesus saw his friend that he had passed, and when he saw his other friends weeping, grieving, the scriptures say he was deeply moved and that Jesus wept. Does God care about suffering? I think so. I think he weeps. And I just want to show you this video that I made for remembrance a couple of years ago, just looking at how this passage is so important that we can't forget it. And that actually in the midst of our brokenness, of our pain and suffering, we're not in it alone, because someone weeps with us. So that's the hope that we have this morning, is that God is not just this distant, cosmic, faraway God. God really cares about us. John 11:35 says he weeps when we weep. When we suffer, he cares. He cares to the point of tears. And so just know that this morning. If you feel broken, if you're in a rough season, just know that you're not alone and that he is with you and that God cares. It's not just a concept. It's a total truth reality, because the word tells us that Jesus wept. And if we want to see the nature of the Father, we look to Jesus. And as well as this powerful picture of the intimacy of the passionate relationship that God has for us, that God wants to pursue us, that God wants to walk alongside us, we also know that it doesn't stop there. God doesn't just care to the point of tears. God cares to the point of the cross. John 19, verse 30. Jesus is on the cross. He's got the weight of sin on his shoulders. Lives this perfect life. Sacrifices himself. And in John 19, verse 30, he says three words. It is finished. And then he gave up his spirit. And as he said those three words, he actually dealt with all of sin for all of mankind for all eternity. And we can have that if we want it, if we trust in him. He And he didn't just care to the point of tears. He didn't just care to the point of the cross. Because 3 days later, he rose again. And that tells us he had the authority to pay it. If the cross was the check being written, the resurrection was the check clearing. I'm full because it was empty. Wind back the clock by a century and times that by 20. You find yourself smack bang in the middle of a story filled with plenty. Plenty of drama, good v evil, social upheaval and Pilate's poll for the people. One word, popularity. And for clarity, treason sealed with a kiss gives reason to believe that this story seeps bigger plot twist than that Sixth Sense film with Bruce Willis. Now, main character, this guy who weren't just guy, this guy was God. God's son, flesh and bones, breathed breath in. Wore a crown of thorns, but we'll get to that bit later. Let's address the fact there's this crater within us that needs a fill, and the climax happened up Golgotha Hill. Still, we'll get to that in just a minute. First, this guy was God, fully perfect, fully God, protagonist of the greatest story ever told. See, this guy came to fulfill the promises of old, to fix up a relationship once broken, to be the fall guy, to become our sin payment token. See, I'm full because it was empty. I'm filled with life, life with plenty. I'm penalty paid, I'm free. But not just free, I'm full. I'm freely full and fully free, all cause it was empty. See, Adam and Eve, they didn't believe and obey. They went their own way, disobeyed. Perfect relationship with maker afraid. Because it was empty, it's all changed. My path has been rerouted, remade, rearranged. See, this guy was God. Bore mankind's weight of sin upon a tree. All to pay the penalty. Lived then died on a cross, all to pay the total cost, all to pay for my mistakes, but I get life. Guess that's called grace. And because he was afflicted, my burden of sin has been lifted, because he said, it is finished. Then, taken by death, he had died. And just in case, a spear ran through his side. But a side note for you are not going to believe what happens next. Laid in a tomb, his body so scarred, a boulder blocks the entrance and centurions on guard. But 3 days later, death lost its hold. And this bit is gold. The grip of sin is over, because the boulder had been bowled over. So now forgiven. I'm freely full and fully free, all cause it was empty. And so this morning, as we consider if God really cares, let's not separate the God of the Genesis 1 or the God of the Genesis 2. Let's put our hands together and recognize that this God is worthy of our praise. And he's also intimately passionate about relationship with us. God cares to the point of tears, to the point of the cross. To say God cares is an understatement. It's like saying Usain Bolt has got some running potential. It's like saying Snowden's a bit of a climb. God cares. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you made us. Thank you that Psalm 139 reminds us that you know us intimately. That you know the hairs on our heads. That you knew us before we were formed in our mother's womb. You know each and every single person here this morning. And you're passionate about them. You're crazy about them. And thank you that you, God, are worthy of our praise, because you are magnificently great, Lord. Thank you that your creation gives us a glimpse of how great you are, because you are so higher, so further, so much more above that. But you also made yourself known to us through your Son. And Jesus, you laid yourself down for us. You gave up everything for us so we can really live. May we know in our spirit that you really care. And as we open up your word, may we remember that this message of hope is your living word. And may we be shaped by it. May we be changed by it. And may we encounter you through it. And we pray for those who still don't have it. We pray that you will meet with them through it too. May we know that you care so much more than we will ever know. Fill us with your spirit, we pray. In your precious name, amen.